Amazing. Thank you very much for that wonderful music ministry. Let's give them a round of applause. Let's appreciate them. Thank you very much, Pastor Muiwa, for having me. Thank you, the whole church. Nice to see you and meet you all. I'm here with one of our pastors, Pastor Johnson. Let's give him a round of applause. And I'm here with my son, Olukorede Fashino, who is traveling with me to see Nigeria after 10 years or so of not being here. Praise the Lord Jesus. And of course, before I go on, I must talk about my relationship with this house. You know, I'm so excited that Doctors Odubanjos, both of them, are not in the country, and something awesome like this is happening here. It's very interesting that many, many years ago, when Dr. Odubanjo came to study in the United Kingdom, he trained our choir. You understand? He actually trained our choir. You know, I keep saying it. He came to the UK, and he could have gone to minister in some of the biggest churches in the UK. But he came to serve with us as a member, you know. And seeing the choir here today, I can see, you know, that trait for excellence. And it's a huge testament to your hard work that you've maintained it and improved on it. So God bless you all. God bless you all. I've never been to this site before, so it's my first time. It's a beautiful place. And I pray that it will go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, so it's February, and we're close to what they call Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow. And as a tradition, our church also does this. So, last weekend, we had a couples lunch where we talked about these sorts of matters also. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, today I'll be speaking on the theme, one team. One team. One team. You usually hear the word team in sports. You understand? You hear the word team in sports. If you are a football manager and you bring... You spend hundreds of millions of pounds or dollars buying the best players in the world and putting them together. You still have to build them together to become a team, because it's a team that wins. You understand? Individuals don't win. Individuals don't win games. And in this game of family life, relationship, marriage, it takes a team to win. Praise the Lord Jesus. It takes what? A team to win. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you breathe upon us in Jesus' name. Lord, speak through me tonight in Jesus' name. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer in the name of Jesus, that I may speak a word in season to anyone who is needy in Jesus' name. Lord, let tonight be somebody's night of change in the name of Jesus. Let it be someone's night of transformation in Jesus' name. Lord, remind somebody of a truth that they've learned, but that they've forgotten or they've cooled off on in the name of Jesus. Let it be a night of true transformation for every one of us in Jesus' name. And then for questions that are lingering in people's minds, even as I speak, Lord, help me to be able to answer these questions in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to bring simplicity to otherwise complex matters in Jesus' name. Lord, make it simple for people. Make it easy for people. And let us all live here far better than we came in the name of Jesus. I keep saying it, marriage is for 70 plus years. When the agape love of God is there, it's for 70 plus years. beautiful years, wonderful years, years of fulfilling vision, fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, years of changing the world, years of being a difference, making a difference in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen, amen. So tonight we're talking about one team. Can you turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, one team. Come on, say, you've got to be one team. One team, one team, one team. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep himself warm alone? Praise the Lord Jesus. So this month is that month when we talk about dealing with that aloneness. Hallelujah. God wants you to find your own mate, your own partner. You understand that you can do the journey of life together. In fact, in the studies of miracles, we see that even two are better than one. If you remember in Mark, the second chapter, when Jesus was ministering and the whole house was full, you know, and there were, people everywhere looking to get healed. There was a man who was paralyzed, and he was carried by how many people? He was carried by four people. Do you remember? He was carried by four people, four friends, you understand, who decided, regardless of what happens, this man is going to get healed. You understand? He had four solid friends who decided they were not going to give up on him. So they came by the door, and the door was blocked, you know, and they looked around, and there was no way. So what did they do to the roof? They opened the roof and let down their friend, and Jesus saw their faith, and they were healed. You know, God wants us to have partners. Partners who are friends, lifelong friends, that you can do life together. Praise the Lord Jesus. And today, when I talk about one team, I'm going to go from side to side. I will allude to single people who are trusting God for a relationship that becomes a marriage. And I will also talk about married people. Even if you've been married for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, if you find out that you are still not a team, you can still become a team. You can become a team. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we find by the pool of Bethesda, you know, the pool that becomes a miracle pool when the angel comes and blesses the water. What did the man by the pool say? He said, I have no one. He said, I have no one. He said, I have no one who will take me, you know, to the pool. In the name of Jesus, I pray for anyone who is saying that I have no one. My prayer is that God will give you somebody in Jesus' name. You will find your own in the name of Jesus. You will find your own in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one of them falls down, one can help the other, but pity anyone who falls and who has no one to help them up. I've been doing some counseling, talking to people, and there's a woman I know. Her husband fell into debt. He fell into debt. He lost money. He lost money 3 months in a row. You understand? And she's blaming him and saying, you lost the money, you pay all the bills, you do everything, you do this. And I came to them. I know you have that training. Your man of God there, Dr. Odubanjo, is an unusual man of God. You understand? You can't go to pastor here expecting that you know the answer he will give you to the counseling. He's going to get as close as possible to the word of God as possible. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what you're going to get. He's not going to be political about it. So I told this woman, I said, you are partners. You are partners. You are a team. You understand? So if he falls into financial trouble, you are together. So you sort it out together. And I said to them, I said, marriage is for 70 years. And I keep saying that. The late queen, Queen Elizabeth, she was married for about 73 years. You understand? She and her husband, they passed on in their 90s. You understand? For the man, his male ego must have been dealt with a lot. You understand? But he carved a niche for himself. Prince Philip can go anywhere in the world, to any king, any president, and embarrass them with one joke. That was how he lived his life. But all through those 70 years, he supported a woman, and he did it well. Hallelujah. He did it well. So tonight, you're going to hear me say things that people don't say on social media, that people don't say in the beer parlor, or they don't say in a group of friends. We're going to be Christians. Hallelujah. We're going to be Christians. It takes a Christian to run marriage and to run a relationship. Hallelujah. You know, in Psalms, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So we're going to walk by the law of the Lord. And that is how we will get results. Praise the Lord Jesus. So when I say marriage is for 70 years, God forbid, the man lost money this year. May you not lose money next year. Do you get it? You know, that's why it says if one falls, what should the other do? You pick him up. If one falls, you pick her up. You support each other. It's one team. One team, one team. That's what makes marriage and relationships work. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what makes marriage and relationships work. So we're going to talk, like I said, I will talk to singles, I will talk to couples, and if we have time, I will talk about child raising. You understand? So raising children, it's also a major part of it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, what does the Bible say from the first verse? It says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. The vision is for an appointed time. Let's read it, somebody. Let's take time to read it, Habakkuk 2. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he that reads it may run. Habakkuk 2. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So, I will watch to see what he will say to me. That teaches us that God speaks to us in pictures. You understand? And I usually tell people, married couples and singles. So, as a single man, you can do this. As a single woman, you can do this. As a married couple, you can do this. And this is it. Write a vision for your family. We call it the family charter. Now, if you go into a bank or you go into a business, on the wall, most of the time, you will find, sometimes in golden decorated letters, the vision statement, you know, and the mission statement of that organization. You know, you will find a charter, maybe a charity, an organization. You will find their charter. And from time to time, they will say, these are our values, these are our goals, this is where we are going, this is what we are trying to do. So, as a family, dad and mom, you can sit down together and write a family charter. Every family needs a family charter. It's your family charter that reminds you that your family is something and that your family stands for something. Your family is going after something. Your family has values. Your family has rules. Your family has boundaries. Your family has aspiration. Your family has direction. Your family has a place it's trying to go. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, as a single man, if you write something, sort of a vision for the family you are trusting God to give to you, it's very simple. It's as if you've created sockets for a plug. Because you know where you're going. And all you are just looking for is the second part of the plug that will plug into that socket. Praise the Lord Jesus. Because you know where you are going. As a lady, you can have a vision. You understand? You can have a vision and say, this is the type of family I am trusting God for. These are the sorts of things I'm trusting God for. And when a guy that looks like that comes along, it will be easy to make decisions. It will be easy. It will be easy. It will just slot in. It will just fit in because you already know where you are going. It's a good foundation. Praise the Lord Jesus. Unfortunately, I'm not too much of a crazy football lover myself, but illustrations about football keep coming to me. You understand? Now, so imagine this manager who has gone to buy players from everywhere. He sits them down and he says, this year, I want one of you to win the Ballon d'Or. We want to win the Premiership. We want to win the Euros. You understand? These are the things we are targeting. And then he can build a team to focus on that target. Your family charter is your family vision. When you are thinking of coming together, loving each other, working together, that's what you are working towards. People work harder, people work better, people put in more when there is a goal. And families can have goals. Hallelujah. Relationships can have goals. You should have goals. You should start from there. Have a vision. Pray about it. Trust God. All the word of God you've been hearing all these years, right from the age of 18, a young person should begin to think, what do I want to do with my life? You understand? What do I want my family to be like? What do I want my children to be like? What are the things I think I don't want? What are the things I think I want? And you should begin to build that picture. Many people have a bit of that picture, but what I'm saying is, write it down. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, write it down. Come on, say, write it down. So let's talk about family charter. Let's talk about it. I'm going to give you an example. So you take a piece of paper, dad and mom. What do you want your family to be like spiritually? So you say, in the name of Jesus, we want our family to love God. Wherever we are, anywhere in the world, we will find a local church, a community church, where we can serve, where we can know the pastor and the pastor knows us, where we can serve in departments. If there's a cell system, we want to join the cell system. We will be tithers. We will be givers. We will be people who support church projects. Every time the door of the church is open, we want our family to be there. Our family will pray once a day, maybe in the evening or in the morning. From an early age, we will teach our children to be full of the word. We will teach our children how to pray. You can write these things down. So you write them down at the beginning. Can you imagine going on a second or third date? I know young people will just be spooked by what I want to say. And you bring out something, and it contains something that actually makes sense. As a lady, I think it will impress the guy. You understand that what? You know where you are going. You understand? You know? So you can have a family charter. That's spiritual life. Your mental life. As a family, we want to be academic. We want to be full of academic wisdom, practical life wisdom. We want to be a family of readers. We want to be a family of learners. We want to develop skills that are commercially valuable right from a young age. This family will never be a mentally lazy family. You write it down. And then you begin to live that way. And then regularly, you go back to check that family charter. Regularly, you go back to check that family charter. And you keep aligning yourself to it. It can be done. It's unusual, but it can be done. You know, whatever your surname is, you can make a name for yourself. You can make God proud. You can make the kingdom of God proud. You can say, this is how the Okays live. This is how the Fashioners live. The Fashioners do this. The Fashioners don't do this. The Fashioners love God. The Fashioners are full of the word. The Fashioners are full of the spirit. The Fashioners know how to pray. The Fashioners support church. The Fashioners answer the call of God. The Fashioners always do charitable works. The Fashioners have a good report wherever they go. Have a vision and write it down. So what do you want to do spiritually, your family? What do you want to do? You can do it as a single person. You can do it as a couple. What do you want to do mentally? What do you want to do financially? In our own, we said we will be rewarded for our labor. We will be rewarded for the things we have studied financially. We will create products. We will add value. And we will be wealthy. We will be wealthy. You better choose it. If you don't choose it, you can miss it. It can pass by you if you don't choose it. We will get married at the right age. We're not going to be 55 years old and taking a two-year-old to school. No, we will do it at the right time. Praise the Lord Jesus. When my son and I were getting on the plane, somebody said, you look like brothers. You married early. You understand? I didn't marry early. I just married on time. You understand? My head was in the right place at the right time. You understand? And it was easy because I had thought about it. I had prayed about it. I had read about it beforehand. And at the right time, it was easy for it to happen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I believe it goes both ways. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you very much. Thank you. I have one, but it was leaving particles on my face. Thank you very much for this. Praise the Lord Jesus. So write a family charter. Write where you are going. Write where you are going. Today, I passed by a street where I grew up. It's very interesting. I passed by a street where I grew up. We actually still have a church on that street. So two people that I grew up with, my son is 21. I'm only 21 years old. You understand? It's a mystery. But I found, you know, two people who are my age. But they're not married. They are men, and they are not married. And I know, you know, another person, you know, on in that estate who, as at his late 40s, before he passed away, he was not married. He was not married. Now, there are other discussions like, okay, maybe God doesn't want him to get married, maybe, you know, but when it comes to discussing things that didn't work out, people like to blame God. Nobody blames God when it works out. You understand? Praise the Lord Jesus. We'll just say, maybe God, maybe God, maybe God, maybe God. But look, we're talking about you now. Pay attention to it at the right time. Just pay attention to it. And if you want to prove that you are paying attention to it, get a notebook, open a file, a digital file, and write down some things. Write down some things. If you are married, call your partner, say, one crazy man came from the UK. He said we should write a family vision, as if we don't already have a family vision. Well, maybe you don't if it's not written down somewhere. So maybe the only thing you are going to gain tonight is go and write it down somewhere. Praise the Lord Jesus. Go and write it down somewhere. And then look at it, maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter. Look at it. You and the children, or you and your partner, if the children have not come, write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. A few days ago, my son was saying, oh, on that course, I got a first class. And he was telling me excitedly. Why? Because in the family charter, we said we would do well. Praise the Lord Jesus. We said we would do well. We said we'll be rewarded for our labor. Our 14-year-old daughter, one day we came from church, but she had entered herself in an entrepreneurship competition, you understand? And she had gone from stage one to stage two, and she was already in stage three. So we came back from church, pastor's family, you know, we had served in the morning, we did the church service. After that, we went to bless a house. Someone had moved to a new house. We went to bless it. We got home around 3:30 p.m. She didn't remove her church clothes. She sat on the dining table from 3:30 p.m. till midnight. And I'm thinking, what happened? What got into this type of child? Whose child is this? But in the family vision, we said we will be rewarded for our labor. We said we will take entrepreneurship seriously. So she was doing an entrepreneurship competition, writing down business plans, writing down proposals, making videos, making pictures, putting together a pitch, testing out her pitch, then submitting. She submitted just before midnight into the competition and was moved on to the final. You understand? Your family must stand for something. Now, if you are single, your family that is coming must stand for something. As a single man, when you start to date, say that to the girl that you date. Let them know that you have it all worked out. Now, let me say something. It may not work exactly all to plan. Do you get it? But you have a direction. You have somewhere you are going. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. So when we talk about one team, that one team will come together to achieve that vision. That one team will come together to achieve that vision. In the area of children, my wife, who is at home, she sent me a message today. She said, it is now time to cut down our daughter's activities because she has GCSEs next year. Academically, she's doing superbly well. You know, she won gold in a mathematics competition last week. But she plays three musical instruments. She's in two choirs. She's in a few charities. You know, she's a scientist, a mathematician, an entrepreneur, a linguist. She does French, Spanish, Latin, Greek. So we said we have to cut it down now so that she can focus on GCSEs. Now that message came from my wife today because we are what? One team. And we are trying to fulfill a vision how? Together. Together. We are trying to fulfill a vision together. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay. As a single person, you are trying to build your team. What should you look out for? What should you look out for? I know that, ladies, you have to wait for someone to come to you. And I'm going to give advice to ladies. I spoke yesterday about this, and I said to ladies, about ladies, I said, people are talking about you every day as a single lady. Somebody wants to recommend you to someone as a single lady. Now, guys don't fall down from trees. You know that song, "It's raining men, hallelujah, it's raining men." You understand? Which rain did you see with men falling? You understand? People tell each other. People say, "I like that babe. What do you think?" And it's not "I like that babe" that gets you into a relationship. It is "what do you think?" What do people think about you? What do people say about you? Give them a good report to say about you. I'm a pastor. If I had a brother who was looking for a fiancé, I can look at a church and say, "You, I'm not going to introduce you to my brother." And I'll say, 1, 2, 3. I will not introduce you to my brother. You will not give him peace. He will not rest all the days of his life. He will suffer. So I will not introduce you to my brother. Do you understand? And I can look at someone else and say, has anybody taken that sister? My brother must take that sister. So you, as a single lady, give people that second report. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's smiling all the time. She loves people. She shares. She cares. She's... Now, ladies are saying this. You are telling me to give everything. Give everything. Give everything. What about me? What about me? I will be empty. I will be dry. Have you not read Psalm 23 verse 2? "He restores my soul." He will restore you. When you give smiles, do you lose smiles? You don't. Most of the kindest things to do, to say a kind word. Have you ever seen somebody who has given out 10 kind words and then on that person they wrote less than 10 kind words? Do they? You don't lose. All those things are free. It's free. Walking in love is what? It's free. Walking in love is free. As a single lady, just in case, in preparation, just in case somebody is talking about you right now, make sure they have a good report. And you can control that. Amen? You can control that. No, you can control that. You can control that. Make sure it's a good report. Make sure it's a good report. Make sure it's a good report. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, so now let's talk about choosing a life partner. What are some of the things to look out for? Number one is spiritual compatibility. That's the first thing. Spiritual compatibility. The first thing is be born again. Be born again. Be born again. That's the first thing. Be born again. Because the type of love that it takes to run a marriage is in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, all the fruit of the Spirit is packed in it. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit because it grows in you because the Holy Spirit is in you and you are growing up spiritually. So the power to run a marriage, it starts from when you get born again. When you get born again and you begin to build the fruit of the Spirit, that's what you need to run a marriage. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the first thing is spiritual compatibility. Spiritual, as a guy, as a guy, look, as a guy who comes to a church like this, you've been fed on the word of faith, you've been fed on the word of God, you are full of the Spirit, you probably pray in tongues, you are not going to do well with a girl who doesn't know the church she goes to, or who goes to the old fashioned, I don't know whether there are new fashion ones, a white garment church. You are not going to do well with a girl from a white garment church. It's difficult. Some will say, oh, some are born again, some are not born again, some are, but it can be the realm of confusion. You are not going to do well in that. Many years ago, about 20 years ago, you know, for us who are 21, but can remember what happened 20 years ago. 20 years ago is like yesterday. 20 years ago, a group of ladies were saying that a man is not good for one of their friends. Because their friend is born again, speaking in tongues, full of faith, full of the word. But she meets this guy who is from a church where they don't believe in speaking in tongues. And then immediately she marries them, they remove her earrings. You understand? In the UK, a lot of young girls don't wear earrings because when they get to school, when they want to swim or they want to do sports, they tell them to remove their earrings. You understand? And so some of them just give up on earrings. But I tell my daughter, I say, you know what, wear earrings. Because when I look at a girl who is not wearing earrings, it scares me. There are so many things attached to it. So many issues, so many baggages, so many bad stories. I say, auntie, wear your earrings right now. Wear your earrings. I want to see them dangling, beautiful, lovely. That's what I want to see. Praise the Lord Jesus. So she marries this person because he has beautiful eyes. She marries this person. At the end of 20 years, she divorces him. She divorces him because at the 14th year, she found out that together they have 3 children. But in the same town, he has another family and he has 3 children again. I'm not joking. In the West. This happened in the West. You understand? So, spiritual, turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, spiritual compatibility is important. Come on, say, coming to a church like this and being trained and hearing God's word and hearing God's word and hearing God's word and hearing God's word and hearing God's word, it turns you into somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody that is good for marriage. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Somebody that is good for marriage. So you are arguing, the place is getting hot. There's the Holy Spirit to tell him, calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. Brother, if you go for only 6-pack and you say he practices boxing and you are arguing and he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, that's where they say you are on your own. And please, don't now bring him at that time and you want the pastor to change him. Do they bring people to change for you to change them? Change this man for me. I always say this. You are going to find this very funny. Very funny. So, you are in a relationship. Someone is in a relationship with a cat. Listen, listen. Now, what sounds do cats make? Okay. And then she sends prayer points to pastor. My cat is not barking. Lord, pray. Prayer department, pray that the cat will begin to bark. He said, if any man be in Christ, is a what? Is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. 1 John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So when somebody becomes born again, the supernatural love of God is in them. They may not be perfect on that day, but there's something checking them. There's something talking to their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So someone who is not born again, some people, when they're desperate, they'll say it doesn't matter. He is born again through his mother. No, people don't get born again through their mothers. It's a personal transaction. So pastor says, is he born again? You say his mom is a pastor. You have not answered the question. Is he born again? Hallelujah. Is he born again? Is she born again? Praise the Lord Jesus. Is she born again? Maybe she grew up in an environment where they just curse each other. She will do that when she's married too. So spiritual compatibility is important. Somebody say it's important. And let me say this. Some people will look around and say, there's no brother in church for me. Who told you that that's how God chooses partners for people? That's not how. Anything can happen. Your job is to be faithful. Hallelujah. Your job is to be faithful and consistent. That's your job. Amen and amen. That's your job. No, your job is not to permutate and, do probability in the church. No. You be faithful and be consistent, and God will sort you out. So you must be spiritually what? Compatible. Amen and amen. Born again, similar doctrine. You understand? Similar doctrine. I can guess that in this church, you bind devils and you cast them out. You don't worship them, make food around them, play with them, talk with them, pray about them forever. No, you bind them and you cast them out. So even simple doctrinal compatibility, you understand? Not a situation where you say, because your pastor didn't curse all your enemies, they say, oh, they don't pray in that your church. You understand? That they don't pray in that your church. You understand? No. Doctrinal compatibility. And can I tell you something? There are millions of people on earth right now who are compatible with you. Hallelujah. And you will find your own in Jesus' name. I said you will find your own in Jesus' name. Okay, mental compatibility. Somebody say mental compatibility. Okay, so if you didn't study at all, maybe you went the way of apprenticeship. You understand? It may be easier for you to flow with someone who also went the way of apprenticeship. You understand? But if you studied, maybe you went to university. I met Dr. Odubanjo, both of them in University of Ibadan. You see, when you meet in a place like that, you already know the people's level. It cuts out some issues. You understand? It just cuts out some issues very quickly. Like, my wife doesn't like spelling mistakes. My wife doesn't like grammar mistakes. She would think little of you if you don't write good English. Like, she would just say, like, who spells like that? Who writes like that? You understand? But we met in university, so I fall in her category. Do you get it? She's not going to survive someone who cannot speak English. You understand? You understand? There's also mental compatibility. Praise the Lord Jesus. I've seen a situation before where the man attended a polytechnic, the woman attended a university, and all their marriage, the man tries to put her down to make up for the difference. I don't know why. Now, let me say something. Even in all this compatibility, except spiritual compatibility, the Holy Spirit can help you to make adjustments. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's just that most people don't settle down for the Holy Spirit to help them. You understand? The Holy Spirit can help us to make adjustments. Praise the Lord Jesus. Then even temperamental compatibility. Amen and amen. Temperamental compatibility. Somebody wrote a book many years ago called Spirit-Controlled Temperament. The person talked about the different temperaments, and then the person said, whatever issues are with your temperament, the Holy Spirit can help you. You understand? But most people don't read that Holy Spirit part. They just say, I'm phlegmatic. This is how we are. You take me like that. I'm choleric. This is how we are. We are leaders. You know, we scatter everywhere. You know, choleric. Sometimes I'm sad. I don't know why. You know, all those things. Yes, we are different types of character in a way. But the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is meant to make us Christians. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So you watch out for some of those compatibilities. And your friends and people around you can tell you. They can tell you, ah, that person, you will work well together. Ah, this other person, ah, the Lord is your strength. Amen and amen. When you ask people questions and they say it is well, that means you should think about it well. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that's compatibility among singles. Also, do you like similar things? Praise the Lord Jesus. If God brings you someone who enjoys some things, can you change and try to start to enjoy those things too? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me talk about becoming one team among couples. Among couples, you are married. I'm telling you and I'm begging you, become your husband or wife's best friend. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, best friend. Let's say it another word. Let's call it bestie. Become bestie. That's what they call it nowadays. Become bestie. And what's the practical way to do that? It says, a man shall leave his father's house, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? They shall become one. How do you become one? You will be surprised. Read the same books. Listen to the same Christian messages. Listen to the same worship songs. Watch the same movies. And please watch movies. As a man, don't leave your wife watching movies alone. Watch with her. Watch the same movies. Because every movie has a software. It will install a software in your partner's head. It better install it in your head together. Or you do the debugging when you are watching it together. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Read the same books. So let me give you a project. In 5 years of marriage, try to have about 20 books that your wife has read or your husband has read. Both of you, you've read the same books. Hallelujah. Of course, you attend the same church. Both of you listen in church. Discuss the messages where? At home. Praise the Lord Jesus. Attend the same social events. If you want to be friends, be friends. If you want to do this married thing, do it well. There's a young man who got married in the UK. Got married in his first year of marriage. He will call pastor. Pastor, I'm coming to visit you. Halfway, we will say, did you bring your wife? He will say, no. He will say, I asked her, she said no. We'll say, go back home or don't come. Go together. Amen and amen. Listen to the same instructions. All these togetherness things, they will turn you into what? One team. One team. Play with your partner. If you can play Ludo, Ayo, Draft, PlayStation, Xbox, game together. play together, do things together. In the UK, I told them, I said, dance together. Dance. So when we had our last couples event, at the end, they played Afrobeat, and people were dancing all kinds of, you understand, with their partners. Praise the Lord Jesus. You understand? Dance together. Play together. Make the home fun. Enjoy the same type of humor. Don't allow your partner to fall into dullness, melancholy, whatever issues you are dealing with. Continue to laugh, continue to play, continue to dance. You say, why are you saying all these things? Because they matter. Have fun and play with your own partner, in your own house, with your family, with your children. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's how to form one team. I will give us some of the things we do as a family. When our children are on holiday, he's in university, she's in a boarding school. When they are on holiday and they are home, we have a routine during the day. We work from home. So during the day, everybody studies on the dining table. They will study maybe till about 5 p.m. from the morning. Everybody does that. It's part of our family charter. Our head, there must be something inside. It must not be empty. It's not allowed. Praise the Lord Jesus. At the moment, I'm learning a lot about energy. I'm learning a lot about blockchain technology. I'm learning a lot about all types of trading, commodities, gold, silver, forex, but I don't do forex. I'm learning about it. And that's not the first thing I'm learning about in my life. You understand? In the past, I've learned about properties. There's probably not many things I don't know about properties in the UK. You understand? You must have something you are learning. So we read from morning. In the evening, if we're all home, I cook special meats. So I would make barbecue. I will go and buy lamb. All my geo self from top to bottom. You understand? All my daddy, the Lord, mentor, I will get in the car, go to the supermarket, buy beef. I may buy lamb, I may buy beef, I may buy chicken. I will grill it in a special way, almost like making suya. And I will serve everybody. And then we will all together sit down and we will give the remote control to somebody. And that person has to choose an action movie. We don't do dull movies. You have to shoot in the first, 3 minutes. If you are explaining it too much, we say, change that one. But that's us. That's who we are. That's our family. We have fun together. Praise the Lord Jesus. And then we choose a movie and we sit down together for 2 hours. Now listen, if in the movie they start to remove clothes, they know somebody will take the remote control and fast forward it. When they put on their clothes again, we will continue watching. But they must shoot. Or, you want to kill the president, I'm going to take you down. Boom, boom, boom. You understand? You kill my master, I kill your master. Who's this? That's us. But we do it. Praise the Lord Jesus. We do it. Amen and amen. So this is many years ago. I know I'm not current. So we will dance. Olomi. Onitemi. You understand? We will blast it loud. It's pastor's house. But that's pastor's house when there's no church member. Church member stay in your house. It's pastor's house. We're having fun. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Play together. You will find out that you are one team. Praise the Lord Jesus. We go everywhere together. We don't do, I don't feel like going. One day, and you love this story, this gentleman over here, we were all at home, but his sister was returning to boarding school. He was resting in his room. My wife called me and said, oh, it's time to go. And even that, we don't drop the children in school alone. In fact, I think people will be able to count the number of times they've seen me without seeing my wife. We just go everywhere together, like rice and beans, 5 and 6. You understand? Praise the Lord Jesus. We just do it like that. But it is intentional. It's not because we are touchy-feely. My wife is not touchy-feely. She's not like, dear, kiss me small. No. She's solid. She's serious. But we play. Praise the Lord Jesus. We play by force intentionally. So, he was asleep in his room. So, I went to knock on his door and I said, we're taking your sister to school. Please follow us. And he says, okay, I'm tired, but give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes is in the car. We are all in the car. It happens that week was her birthday. You understand? So, big brother is in university. She is 14 in year what now? Year 10, all right? So, we drove her, got to the school. She gets out of the car. And big brother says, Tony, send me your bank details. Hey, I thought, what's happening here? You want to pay our school fees? Okay, go ahead. You understand? You know, try it. You understand? 2 days after, sister sends us message, said, my brother sent me £50 for my birthday. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? We're one team. We're one team, but you work towards it to make it happen. You work towards it. You work towards it. You work towards it. Don't allow somebody to fall into this loneliness thing. Men, you want to watch football, watch it at home. Invite all your friends home to your own house. You understand? Don't be going to some guys or be going to some places. Okay, if you like to go to those places, take your wife along. Work together as a team. It's very practical. And if you work together as a team like that, a lot of things will work. It will be difficult for a third person to come in. It will be difficult. It will be difficult. Now, this thing about husband side, wife side, let me tell you, you'll be shocked. I know my wife's family. My wife knows my family. If my family is right, my wife will tell me my family is right. If my wife's family are funny, my wife will say, this one, this is funny. You tell the truth. You do what? You tell the truth. You tell the truth. So you will both be in agreement. Oh, this person is a peaceful person. This person is a troublemaker. You will be in agreement. Why? Because you are what? One team. You are one team. You are one team. You are one team. And if you are one team and you do marry together as one team, you will succeed. You will succeed. You will succeed. The way it affects the children is that you will be saying one thing because you are one team. Amen and amen. Your decision making will be clear. Amen and amen. There was a financial crash in 2008 in the West. It really affected me. I had so many properties. I was buying and selling properties, and I ran a financial services company. I was employing so many people. I was still very young then, but employing so many people in the UK. The financial crash came and wiped everything away. Now, listen. It now became, what are we going to do to the children? They are in private school. In the UK, private schools are very expensive. They are properly expensive. You understand? So, what are we going to do with the children? We have goals. We have things we've agreed to do. To the glory of God, we were able to protect the children and keep them in private education all through. And we are proud of what they achieved and what they became. We are very proud of them. To the glory of God, he went to the number one school in the UK. To the glory of God, she is in probably one of the number one schools that a girl can go to. You understand? Because the late queen sent her only daughter to the school where my daughter is at now. We talk about this everywhere because we're proud of it. It's something we put on our vision, and even though it was threatened, we were able to maintain it and do it. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we don't have problems. We've never experienced teenagers who have problems. No, our children don't. They don't worry. They don't need anybody's money or money. If you give them money, come back, you will find the money. You understand? They are not moved by things. They are moved by God. They are moved by knowledge. They are moved by success. They are moved by kindness. They are moved by charity. They love people. And when you invest and you are consistent, the results will give you joy. It will give you joy. It will give you joy. I was coming to Nigeria and I said, there's a family wedding. Do you think you would like to come? Who wants to travel? Which 21-year-old boy wants to travel with his father? You understand? You can go and process it. When you are 21 as a boy, you wanted to travel with your father, process it. But he said, yes, Dad, I'm actually excited to come along. And I'm proud of that. And I'm happy, you know, that happens. All the life lessons from Genesis to Revelation, I'm going to teach everything in 1 week. I'm just joking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any questions? How much time do we have and any questions? Over to you. Do we have how many minutes? About 20 more minutes. Can we take questions? Questions. You can write it secretly or you can stand up and ask. Feel free. I'll be happy to help. I'll be happy to help. Thank you. Somebody ready for the first question? Thank you very much.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
First of all, I want to thank you for bringing the vision board for the family, Clara. So for my family, it's not written down. I have mine, which is not fully communicated, you know, to my spouse. But, you know, breaking it down here, I think there is a need to write it down, to put it in your face, and to talk about it often for the family goal. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
My question is this. You mentioned a lot of compatibility for Christian, you know, unmarried, right? So you are in a church where you have born again male, female, sisters, brothers, filled with the Spirit, they possess all of the spiritual
fruit of the Spirit and everything
that you can see. See. But character-wise, they are not to be reckoned with.
Okay.
So in that kind of scenario,
We
are looking at this person because he's all godly, he's always in the church, he's always doing the things of God. A sister or a brother can be misled, you know, because they are just looking at this. So what will you say to the person when the person's character needs to be worked on, probably from the person's background or, you know, some other things would have actually caused it. So what do you say to the person's character? What should people actually look out for? Aside the spiritual aspect. Yeah, you have the mental aspect, you have the spiritual aspect, you have all of these things. So for character.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On that character topic, none of us is perfect and we are all on a journey. Now, let me say this. It's very common that in church or in communities, it may even be a group, people will know that, you know, someone has maybe one issue, two issues, or three issues. And having issues is like having a label stuck on your back. Now, this is a new suit. Imagine if the price is still sticking out. You understand, you know, that you can see sale half price. And it's, you understand? Or maybe even free. That pastor even got this thing free. And it's stuck on my back. Can I see it? I cannot see it. Now, what I want to say now is hard. We need to have safe spaces where in love we can let people know that 1, 2, 3 has to change. You understand? The best thing to do is tell pastor. Pastors are miracle workers. They will be able to say it to the person. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. There are all kinds of issues. There are places where they notice that this person is spirit-filled, lovely person, but when they pass somewhere, things will disappear. So how do you tell somebody that? How do you tell somebody, even the things you took, you don't need them? Can you imagine taking what you don't even need? And it's consistent. So how do you deal with that? The other thing about character is this. I think it was Pastor Adeboye that said this, that we choose that the leaders we that we choose leaders that are like us. That's what he said about the matter of Nigeria. He said he said we choose leaders that are like us. Now, that person that you think has characters, this and that, there's somebody who is compatible with them. Beauty is in the eye of what? The beholder. But to be honest, if we are concerned about someone, we can tell pastor. Not from the point of view of gossip, but the point of view of my brother cannot continue like this. My sister must not continue like this. You understand? I have seen situations where people are afraid to tell someone. But maybe they don't even know. Maybe it's like that label stuck on the back. You can't see your own back. No matter how much you see. No matter how many glasses you wear. So sometimes, a person in authority with love may have to train them and teach them and help them. Many years ago in church, one of our churches, there was a person, I'm not going to say the gender, who was going to need everybody's help. But the problem was that before then, they've been coming to that church for like 5 years and they don't greet anybody. They don't greet anybody. Faces like frozen. You know when somebody walks past you as if you are invisible or that you are not good enough, that you to me never. Like, you know, like they are processing things like, you know, no, I can't even greet pastor. For 5 years, you've made no friends, no good reports about you. People have tried to pull you out. You've stayed in. Now you are facing a project that nobody can do that project alone. Everybody who has done it, about 10 people helped them. So I called the person to my office and I said, what are your plans? They try to deflect. I don't need the thing. I don't need the thing. I said, okay, you don't need the thing. What do you have? The person said, I don't have nothing. I said, you need the thing now. I said, from this Sunday, begin to smile in church. And the person got to church, began to smile. The thing they needed help with, they got help faster than all the people who had been making friends since. Because people suddenly changed towards them. The moment they changed, people changed. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, next question. You can write it. If you don't, you can write it. Pass it to the ushers. Next question.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Okay, so there's this question that they always ask. So our spouses, how much of information do they need to exchange? Do you know everything about what your spouse is doing? Or do you tell your spouse everything that you do?
Okay, is this after marriage?
Yes.
After marriage, okay. Let's look up, everybody. Let's look up. And I'll talk about it from the point of view of women and men. Many years ago, when I used to sell properties, women used to come to me to buy properties without telling their husbands. And I would say, why? In fact, mortgages are even better for couples. Why? But some of them will say, we have told our daddy, he will not listen. So, and because time is going, they felt they should do it themselves. You understand? Also, sometimes men will say, this problem is so bad. If I tell her, she will die or she will faint. So I won't tell her. So what usually happens to the men is they get into a little trouble. They don't tell their wives. The trouble becomes a bigger trouble. The trouble becomes a bigger trouble. And then one day, just boom. And the trauma might be more than when it was a small issue. So my advice is this. As much as possible, let the other partner know. As much as possible. Also, women are here. Don't worry, I'm going to run away from here after preaching. Women are here. Women, I want to tell you. Some men feel that if a woman knows how much they have, she will take all of it. Are there men in the house? Men, if you cover your eyes, but if you feel so, just say, Oh, there are good men in this church. Hallelujah. So some men just think, if she knows everything I have, she will clear everything. So what we suggest is the three purse method. One purse is maybe family bills, family projects. Daddy put 60%, mommy put 40%. Daddy put 70%, mommy put 30%. Daddy put 50%, mommy put 50%. If mommy is blessed, mommy put 60%, daddy put 40%. It can work. What I tell people is this. If Jesus comes here now and says, I want to give your family $1 million, but I will only give it to your wife. Brother, are you going to say, Jesus, don't give us? If you don't give me, don't give our family. Do you get it, somebody? So that brother got it. So brothers, have you heard this scripture? Now we don't roll dice. Now God, they bring double-double. What if God brings double-double for your wife one day? Are you going to say, darling, your ego is now too much? No, you learn to calm down. How many teams do we have? One team. It's one team. So the three purse method is, both of you agree to put money in one purse that you both spend for specific things, agreed things. Then daddy should hold some money for himself, mommy should hold some money for herself. You understand? Daddy, use your money to sort out your family members and your own life. Mommy, use your money to sort out your family members and your own life. But nobody should feel empty. Do you get it? That three-purse method, if you can be organized, is good. So, people hide things for reasons. Men hide money because they think the woman will take everything. It's not about taking some. It's taking everything. The guy has $100,000. You charged him for that month to live in your house. You charged him £99,999. The guy is unhappy. Are you two trying now? Do we have sisters forum? You sisters be begging each other. Beg at that time. You understand? That's why men hide money. I'm telling you. Don't worry. This is Pastor Muiwa's church. He will sort you out. I will say all these things and run away. Men hide money because they think the woman will take all. If they think the woman will take 50%, they won't hide it. 60%, they won't hide it. But there's a percentage. Once you go above that, they will start hiding. Praise the Lord Jesus. They hide problems because they think it will kill you, or you will shout at them, or you will say it's their fault. So if you want to solve that, be even in trouble, be an ever-present team member. Amen and amen. And say, darling, I love you. You put us into this again, but God will remain. God will remove us. It's one team. It's one team. So that's usually the reason. And if we know the reason, then we can work against the reason so that we can help each other. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Any more questions?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for today.
You're welcome.
So from your answer, I want to push on this question. What if in a case whereby I was actually going through a story online and between a couple, so the wife comes from this family, big rich family.
Okay.
And like the father's name worked for her wherever she goes.
Okay.
Gives her the connection and all of it. She gets married to this guy. But, you know, in this marriage, she's refusing to change that name to bear the husband's, you know, surname. Yeah. Now, in this case where it is working for her,
yeah,
and probably working for the family,
what
should the husband do?
You can bear any name. Oh. You can even bear Jesus Christ. It's we that have problem. Oh. God deliver us from problem. You know what? In Spain, and sometimes it's good to look all over the world and thank God for the internet. I'm going to shock you what I'm going to say. My answer will make somebody stand on their head. You know, in Spain, if a husband and wife get married, their child in school, their child will be first name and daddy's surname and mommy's surname together. So the child's name. So if Adedotun marries Adebumi, their son's name will be John Adedotun Adebumi. So that's what they do in Spain. Now, let me now make you stand on your head. Do you know David Beckham? David Beckham's son, help me corroborate this. David Beckham's son, David Beckham was big UK footballer and model. He used to male model and great footballer, and he made a lot of money through that, right? So, and Victoria Beckham was a singer, and now she's in fashion. They are married. They are worth maybe about 2-3 years ago, maybe they are worth about 100 million. Listen, their son, they relocated to America. Their son started going out with this girl whose father is worth about 10 billion. Let me make you stand on your head. David Beckham's son took the wife's family name. Hey! Took the wife's family name. So he is now Beckham. Let me use. He is now Beckham. What's his first name? He is now Brooklyn. Brooklyn is his own name. Beckham is his own father's name. His wife's name. So his name is now Brooklyn Beckham Dangote. And everybody is happy. He's not Dangote. But the guy is a big their father. His wife's father. Ah, he can buy a country in Africa. Or two countries or three. You understand? He took his father's wife's name. And everybody is happy. Amen and amen. So, sometimes you can make your own rules. Abi? Some people decide to wear something here. Is their style, Abi? There are some things you can choose if it doesn't hurt anybody. Do we get it? But sometimes it's our ego. But if you can deal with that ego. And when I was speaking last week, I used Joyce Meyer as an example. How many people know Joyce Meyer? The the Bible teacher, the woman of God. How many people would like to be Joyce Meyer's husband? Don't raise up your hand if your wife is here. But you like to be, you like to be Joyce Meyer's husband. I don't even know his name. Is it Dave or something? What's his name? I don't even know his name. But everybody knows his wife. And the guy is cool with it. So, always remember that illustration. If Jesus wants to give your family $1 million, and he says, I will give your wife, you understand? Because I think she will buy groceries for the family. Now you, I'm not sure you will buy groceries for the family. Praise the Lord Jesus. Are you going to say, Jesus, don't give us? You say, give us now. And then you'll be, the number of dear and darling you'll be saying per day, we multiply. You say, darling, are you okay? Are you all right? Is everything all right? Are we cool? Let's give Jesus a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, any other question? And do we have time? Any other questions? Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And thank you for the word. So I just want to ask two questions. Briefly.
Okay.
How do you close the gap between generations when it comes to vision, when it comes to values, when it comes to how things should be done? Because in this generational thing now that they name them, so they will say, in my generation, this is how it's supposed to be done. In my generation, but the truth of the matter is that principles are principles, values are values. So how do you make this generational gap close up? That's one. And then two, for singles that want to get married, we find out that there is a lot of sin in quotes, meaning that physical relationship. So the excuse is that, how do I know that I am physically compatible with someone that I want to get married to, which is like something that is leading you to sin. And then a lot of people will say, okay, because if I don't do it, he's going to leave me. So how do they deal with that kind of situation? I think it's a very big issue everywhere, and I think people really need to understand how they can deal with it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which one should I answer first? Let me answer the second one first, because it's boiling me. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, have you read about Daniel? In Daniel chapter 1. And, you know, they describe them. They are handsome. They are knowledgeable. They are full of wisdom. And then Daniel finished by being full of the Spirit of God. And somebody said this. Somebody said, these guys like Daniel, who is their mentor? Where do they come from? Who raises them? Who trained them? Because the person did a good job, a fantastic job. And my prayer, especially for guys, because that demand is being made by young men. You understand? My prayer, so maybe my answer to your question is a prayer, that we pastors and the whole community and believers, we will be able to raise up more solid young men. Praise the Lord Jesus. That we'll be able to raise up, you know, solid young men who will not put women through those types of issues. And I think for the young ladies, you are not going to miss out because you refuse to sin. You will not miss out. Woe to that girl who goes, opens herself up to man one, man two, man three, man four, because those types of people, their name also starts with P-L-A-Y-E-R-S. What is that? They are just doing it everywhere. They are not serious. They are just doing it everywhere. So even if you were to marry them, it is trouble. It is trouble. We need to build our young women to know that you will find your own. You will find your own. You do not have to sin in order to find. Because you can sin and it will still move on. So, and for ladies, that sin is very painful. It pains them. It hurts them. You understand? Because you've hurt yourself, you've hurt God, and you've allowed somebody to hurt you. You understand? So please don't do it. For the second one, this intergenerational thing, please, in your family, if it's your own children, don't leave a gap. Please, don't leave a gap. Don't leave a gap. Let your values be clear. To be really honest, yes, there is intergenerational things, but the experience I have of it is positive. Let me give you a story. I want to make fun of myself and be vulnerable. When we do online services, I used to play worship music on YouTube, and then the adverts will come up. One day my son just said, "Guy, you know, there's Spotify now." Just took my phone, downloaded Spotify, put my bank card there, put everything. And now I have Spotify. You understand? Praise the Lord Jesus. I think I said I wanted to download TikTok. They said, "Dad, that one is not for you." You understand? So, also, if something is wrong, let's not try to say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's not try to, you understand? Many years ago, a young lady brought a prospective boyfriend to me. The boy was wearing a suit, and don't take this as doctrine. So what I'm saying now is not doctrine. It's just personal preference, all right? The boy was wearing a suit, a boy, but he was not wearing this big diamond earring, one ear. And I didn't say anything. I was mentoring this young girl. I didn't say anything. I welcomed the guy, was a good host, hospitable, but I never saw him again. Because the lady said, "Reverend, I don't think you like him." This was about 10 years ago when males were not wearing earring. He was wearing a suit and he put big earring here. You understand? And I didn't say it, but she read my mind. And my mind is that what software is running that concluded in that decision? That how did that happen? Make it make sense. You understand? Amen and amen. Like, say it. Hear yourself saying it. You understand? I didn't say anything, but I never saw him again. You may say, that's a boyfriend went away. She's married with two wonderful children to a guy that is like Jesus Christ. And I mean like Jesus Christ in character. A guy who will say, in your family, we're going to spend £20,000. We're going to sort this person out. The man is saying that about the woman's family. And he's taking their family money and sorting out his woman's family. Not the one. And I'm telling you gospel truth. You understand? So the diamond guy went away, but Jesus came. Hallelujah. And very smart Jesus too. Like a cross between Jesus and Daniel. The guy has excellent spirits. The guy touches something, it works. You understand? Praise the Lord Jesus. I think we've had a wonderful evening. Thank you very much for having me. I love you and I appreciate you all. Actually, let us pray. Let's get up on our feet and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that we have said tonight. Lord, I pray you breathe on it in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you help people filter it, sieve it, and let them hear your voice. within my voice in Jesus' name. Lord, help them to be able to take what you have for them in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, stand with them in any decision they will make as a result of what they have heard tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Surpassing Grace Assembly. Thank you for the pure ministry that is being done here. Lord, we pray, as these seeds are being sown continually, cause us to reap a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Lord, for every single lady who is waiting on you to find their mate, Lord, they will be found in Jesus' name. And they will find their own in Jesus' name. Lord, give them a solid, rock-solid confidence and hope that you will pull through for them, that you've got them covered, that you've got their back in the name of Jesus. For every young man, Lord, the confidence to be able to take the bold step at the right time with the right person, Lord, I pray you give to them in Jesus' name. For every couple here, with your grace, sort us out in Jesus' name. Lord, in this church, marriages, good marriages, happy marriages, wonderful family marriages, marriages that are role models and examples to others, they will be for 70 years or more, in the name of Jesus. No make and break. No make and break. Only make and go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. In Jesus' majestic name, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor.